God will help them. He will bring them through it and out of it and just lift it off of them. But as far as the things that you see on television and that Exorcist and everything, that's a little bit surreal. It's just a movie. There are demonic things happening in false religions. There are real things like that going on. But not to that extent, not to that exaggeration. Christians going, I'll tell you where there's a lot of it, is down in South America and in Africa and in the East, the Far East and the Middle East. You see a lot of demonic activity because they have rejected the truth and have clung to lies. And when you do that, you're in a lot of trouble. You and your people. I'm not saying that God can't save any one of them out of it. He can. And the Word of God needs to be preached to those people. But this going and laying hands on them and pouring oil on them and holy oil and holy water, there isn't any such thing. There's no such thing as holy water.
You ever heard Bob Larson when he would talk to the demon inside of somebody and tell him to get out? And he does it on TV and he does it in conventions and on radio.
I've been to those places like that. I grew up in that. I saw it. I saw them bombing up frogs and stuff like that. This frog business, they used to throw a frog out there and all kinds. And a lot of that's play acting. A lot of that is acting. These people do that. A.A. Allen, have you ever heard of that name? That's probably way beyond your time. I went and saw him. He died finally. He died as an alcoholic on Skid Row. And he was a great Pentecostal preacher. And was going out casting out demons and working miracles and all kinds of stuff. I watched him. I watched Oral Roberts. All of those when they were young in their tent campaign days. And Catherine Kuhlman. All of this. Now let's go look at the Word of God in Acts the 16th chapter. And let's see what it says about a great majority of this situation. Find out where it comes from. Where does it originate? All of this. Acts 16 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul is in his mission tour. He comes up here in verse 6. Let's read down through this and give you some background to the story. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because I got a lot of ground to cover today. And as they passed through Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak to a word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. God had a place for them to go. And passing by Mysia, they came to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a certain man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And we then see the vision immediately. We sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the following day to Neapolis, and there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony, and we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing there would be a place of prayer, and we sat down, and in the original language it says they kept on speaking to the women who had assembled. And a certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics and worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. See how God's eternal purpose and unpreventable progress, He blazes a trail for His people. Brother Ken's going to be preaching over at Riverview Baptist Church on March 10th. God made him a place to preach. And God bless you too as you get prepared for that. He opens doors, doesn't he? He opens doors differently today than he did here. at this time. You're not going to have God stop you, and you serve the Lord the best you can where you are today, and God will make sure where He wants you tomorrow. And when when she saw her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. And it happened, as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl, having a spirit of divination. What is that? What kind of a spirit did she have a hold of her brother Ken? Do you remember?
Pithona,
spirit of the great snake. Who's the snake in the Bible?
Satan.
All right. She was what? She was demon possessed. That's exactly what it says. You can write out in your side of your Bible, she was demon possessed. All right? And she met us, who was bringing her master's much profit by Mantua Mene. Here's a very neat word.
I wish they didn't put these things up there like they're right on the
blackboard. Same problem.
Mantua Mene. Mantua Mene. Okay? Mantua Mene. That's the word. We get our word. I gotta write in English. Maniac. Hard for me to spell in English.
When I start spelling.
In printing, it comes out in Greek. Maniac. Manic episodes. What is a manic episode? What is a manic episode?
Crazy.
Somebody goes temporarily insane. People do things in a manic episode. They'll kill somebody, do something, and then flee temporary insanity. What it is demon possession. Demon possession. Exactly what it is. Okay? Demons take over you temporarily. Momentarily. Alright? She who brought her master's much profit by Mantua Mene. And following after Paul and us, she kept on crying out, saying, "These men are bond servants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." I've heard some people say it's talking about a way of salvation. It doesn't talk about any such thing. There's no indefinite article in Greek, is there? It's talking about the way of salvation. Demons lie. Devil quotes the Bible, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
All right? Simple as that. And she continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to her, or said to the spirit that was in her, and who was the spirit?
Satan.
Demonism. "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her that very moment. And they got in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because this woman was making a lot of money. She was a fortune teller. Somebody came and lost money, or the grandpa died and didn't tell anybody where the money was hidden, buried, or they lost a child that was kidnapped. This demon spirit would reveal to these people where the child was. They said, "Well, they're doing good. If they're doing so much good, then how could it be bad?" Satan loves to confuse the issue, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
All right? He loves to confuse
the
issue.
That's why he was proclaiming this stuff about Paul.
Mm-hmm. They wanted to confuse the people. Well, if she's saying listen to him and everything else, how could she be bad?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Paul made that very plain, didn't he? Very majorly. Now I want you to turn to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. Somebody. 28 and verse 29. I want somebody else to turn to 1 Kings, 22nd chapter, 20 through 23. And I'm going to go to Acts, the 26th chapter. One time, Paul was accused of being under demon possession. And this word is mania. All right? In Acts 26 and verse 24, while Paul was saying this in his defense, Festus said in a loud voice, "Paul, you are out of your mind, and your great learning has driven you into a manic episode." And Paul said, "No, I am telling you these words in a soundness of mind, and I am sober. I am not drunk." You know, some people do things when they're drunk that are really crazy. There's demons in that bottle. There are. There's demon liquor, they used to call it. Demon liquor. There are demons in that bottle that just bring out these things, and you get drunk and you are allowing, you're leaving yourself wide open to Satan and his full influence. Now, go back to 1 Kings, the 21st chapter. Or 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, that is. Who's got that one?
I'm here.
All right.
28 and 29, right?
Yeah.
So they cried with a loud voice and cut themselves according to the custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out on them. When midday was past, they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention.
All right, look at the word rave there.
Mm-hmm.
That's mad to them, isn't it? What were they doing? What were they doing? Speaking in unknown languages. Exactly. That's what they were doing. They accused Paul of doing this. This woman that was there in Acts, the 16th chapter, how she made her money. This was the system that they went through. And if you will go into many of the Buddhists, they speak in a prayer language known only by them and their gods, or the ancestors that we're talking about, this unknown prayer language, this unknown language. A lot of demonic-based religions have what is talked about as speaking in unknown languages or spiritual languages. All right? I wish there were more people in this class today. They needed this lesson. It really is important. Unknown languages. A person that was possessed by this pithona, as in Acts 16 chapter, the person would go into a temporary trance. You see this in these seances and stuff on television. You see all kinds of stuff. This is it.
It's like allowing the
this is know. It. People, this is exactly what we're talking about. They go, whoa, you know. And some spirit takes over and they start talking in another language. They don't even know. Somebody goes into a seance and they are contacting the spirit that was in them and the person they were 500 years ago. Demons live back then. They can do exactly, they can bring it right in. They haven't slept since then.
Mm-hmm.
And they take possession of them and make them to start speak in these languages, Gaelic dialects and everything. This is known facts. Where does it come from? Does it come from God? Is there such thing as reincarnation? No. When you live, when you're conceived into this world, you're born. You're born to be eternal from that time on. You'll never cease. You'll never go out of existence. But you have a certain amount of time to live on life and you don't come back. You're not going to come back again. I don't care what these people say. I can say that from the Word of God, and God's the creator of all things, and He set things in order, and I can say real firmly, it doesn't happen. Demons do transcend time and space. And they could have known Eric the Red and come into your mind and make you speak exactly like him and his voice that he spoke back then with the language he spoke. And you can do that. And people can do that. Do you think that might be a little bit dangerous?
Well, I'm sure.
You leave yourself wide open to Satan.
You let him.
Everybody wants something
a God that they can see and a God that they can feel. Well, the God that we worship is invisible. He walked the walks on this earth. Jesus said, I'll be within my church. As one or two or three gathered together in my authority, I'll be with you all over the world through the Holy Spirit. He's with us, but we're not going to see Him. We can see Him as He affects lives and things. And we can see Satan as he affects lives. Can't we? These people will go into a trance. They will speak in a language. Usually these mediums have somebody that helps them, don't they? Don't they have somebody to help and interpret what's going on? Matter of fact, if you leave yourself wide open to something like this and go off into witch fortune telling and things, Satan can come and take control of you and make you do things that somebody did 300 years ago, or can tell you, or you can say where something was. And sometimes they'll say it in an unknown language to the people, and the one that's taken over the, you know, doing the seance, the master of the seance, or whatever you want to call it, they will interpret. They'll say, well, the spirit that's in me tells me to tell you this. Or the spirit's in her, and you see this going on. That's what was happening here in Acts 16th chapter.
Can you say, talk about the seances?
Yeah.
That's the same
thing as
these Ouija boards.
Yes. Beware. Don't touch it. Here we have it in 1 Kings. And it says that it came about when midday was passed, they kept on being in this manic frenzy. Alright? In this manic frenzy. They were prophesying in unknown languages, speaking to their gods, which were demons. Alright, speaking to their gods, which were demons. Does this make the hair stand up on you sometime? Does this make you feel a little creepy when you see things? Well, I saw, I don't watch television much at all, but now and then my daughter will watch it, my wife will watch it, and these commercials come on. And there was a commercial here a while back for a fortune teller to be a fortune teller for your pets. And she could interpret from your pet what kind of problems the pet was having, if he was mentally having, if your dog or your cat was having problems, or you got it out of town, she could tell you what had happened before, earlier in his life, or in some past dog or cat or frog's life. I'm not kidding. This was on here. Okay, I can't think of who she was or anything like that. But people are nuts enough and stupid enough, naive enough to go to that stuff and to call your horoscope up. I know what's going to happen to you and all this kind of stuff. Where does it come from? What is the basis and the foundation of all this stuff? Is it real? Yes. It's real.
It's
real.
It's founded on Satan.
It's real. It's founded. You know, Jesus says, he looked at Peter and he looked at all his disciples. He said, you are Peter, a little stone, but upon this gigantic foundation stone, I'm going to be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not last for now. And wherever you go, and there are two or three gathered together in my authority, I will be right in the midst. And nothing in this world can ever overcome you if you build your foundation upon me. But Satan laid a foundation back in the book of Genesis also with Cain's religion. And he gives his people power, and he gives his people influence, and he gives his people money. Satan pays his people well. He really does. But the retirement is terrible. The retirement benefits are terrible. I mean,
Just think about it. People talk about retiring over on the coast in a nice condominium with a gardener out there and going fishing when they want to and doing this and doing that and whatever they want to do. And then God's people talk about floating around on the cloud with the wings playing the harp and stuff like that. What's Satan people going to be doing? Burning. Suffering. Forever and ever. Retirement benefits. Well, that's the way it is. But can you fool people today? I once knew a woman one time. She talked about her and her cousin. And she said, you know what? I love to lie. But it takes me a while to lie. And she was alone with her cousin and had a child yet. Everything. And she said, he's such a good liar. He can just start lying, just roll the story out. Just convince anything. He's a wonderful salesman, all this kind of stuff. And she told me how great she was and how she had influenced people and done bad things to people, done this and that and everything else. And you know what? It just made my skin crawl. Because I knew it was truth. But it didn't come from God. It came from Satan. Those powers come from Satan. Don't underestimate them ever. But I'm going to tell you something. He that's in you is stronger than he that's in them. But you may have to put up with a lot of torment in this age. But the retirement benefits are a whole lot better than theirs. You won't have to spend eternity with that stuff. As simple as that. And what was the other verse?
1 Kings 21:22
Okay, let me go back here.
What was it?
Okay, 1 Kings... They have denied the faith, yes.
I can just look that word up in the dictionary. That'll tell it all.
Okay, 1 Kings 22:20-23. 1 Kings 22. See what I've got going here. See if we got the right verse.
Talking about Ahab persuading her.
First Kings 22:20-23. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said this a while, another said that. Let's go back up and look at, see what's going on. Go down through here. Verse 13. Then the messenger who went to summon Micaiah spoke to him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets are uniformly favorable to the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably. But Micah said, as the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, I'll speak it. Now, all these other prophets, who do you think they were for?
What was I saying?
Yeah. Does Satan have prophets?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When he came to the king said to him, Micah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to the battle, and we shall refrain, or shall we refrain? And he said, answered him, go up and succeed, and the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. And the king said to him, how many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each one of them return to his house in peace. Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? All right. One was telling the truth, others weren't. And Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said this while another said that. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice you. And the Lord said to him, how? And he said, I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Then he said, you are to entice him and also prevail. Go and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all your prophets, and the Lord has proclaimed disaster against you. Do you see that? What's it talking about? The Lord allowing demon spirits. Well, we live in the age God is permitting Satan to do certain things. He's permitting it. This is not his direct will. It's not what he wants. He doesn't really want the Antichrist to come up in this time and to hurt anybody. But he's going to allow it to bring about his eternal permanent purpose. Allowing these things. Allowing it. Now go back to Acts the 16th chapter again. The foundation of this. And look at it. Write this down. Mentally make notes of this. This is extremely important. Alexander the coppersmith. Paul quoted something about him, didn't he? That he stood against Paul. What was making him stand against Paul? There was another man that saw the gifts of God performed. We're talking about all in the book of Acts. He saw the tremendous power of the Holy Spirit raising the dead and casting out demons and making crippled people whole again. And this man said, I want to buy that. I want to buy it. You know that you can buy books on how to be a medium? That you can go to schools on how to become a witch? And the people that do these things, some of them become extremely wealthy doing these things. How much do you think it costs to get on television for 1 hour? Nationwide. God's money. They're doing it, aren't they? The 900 number, all of that you see on there, people saying, I can help you. I can tell you what way to go. If you want help, look in the book. And it happened that as they were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl, being possessed by a spirit of Satan, met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune-telling. Had she helped him? Had she found lost items? Had she found lost members of families? Mm-hmm. Sure she had. Absolutely. This woman was a real prophet. A real medium. A real fortune-teller. But was it of God? How many of you ever heard of Nostradamus? Mm-hmm. Or I got a movie about that somewhere or another. Nostradamus. All the things that he prophesied. Do you think Satan is capable of looking ahead and knowing what's going to happen?
He's got the Bible?
Yeah. He's seen the Bible. He was there when Daniel was begging God for interpretation of prophecy that he had received about the end times. What happened to Daniel in the book of Daniel? What happened to him? We're talking about real powers now. Every nation in the world has its demonic forces and angelic forces behind it. Daniel, the 9th chapter, Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. Now while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God on behalf of the holy mountain of my God. The holy mountain there means what? What does this usually mean in the Bible? Holy government. Mountain. Government. While I was speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness. Okay? About the time of the evening offering at 3 p.m. And he gave me instruction, talked with me, and said, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your supplication, the command was issued. And I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed, so give heed to the message and gain understanding and visions. And now he talks about the visions that he's going to say, and he's talking about the end time. The end time, the book of Revelation. Okay? He talks and interprets this. But we also find that Daniel's prayer for his people, Satan had hindered Gabriel from coming and answering him. He had hindered him. Trying to find out where it tells about this. Anyway, in Daniel, the 8th chapter, it talks about Gabriel coming to tell Daniel about the end times. Daniel fainted and was extremely distraught. He was wore out praying. Gabriel interprets his vision there. Can't find it right now. Daniel prays over here in Daniel, the 5th chapter. We see the handwriting on the wall. Now, who's interpreting these dreams to Daniel?
General?
Gabriel's interpreting this. Now, who's Gabriel sent by?
God.
All right. He's sent by God. Now, we see a prophet of God here, and that he's directed by an angelic person, which is Gabriel. And Gabriel is over what? What do you find?
Daniel.
Daniel chapter 10.
10 verse 13.
We find that 10, 12, and 13. All right, here it is. In verse 10, it starts off at Daniel chapter 10 and verse 10. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I am about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you, And when he had spoken this word, I stood up trembling. And he said to me, Do not be afraid, Daniel. From the first day when you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, all right, who do you think this is? It's Satan. The word prince there is seer. Seer. S-Y-R. All right? That's seer. Okay? This demonic being that's over the nation of Persia withstood me. Okay? And was withstanding me for 21 days. That's 3 weeks, isn't it? Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, who is this?
Archangel.
He's an archangel. Mm-hmm. He's over the spiritual realm of God. He came to me to help me. And I have been left there with the kings of Persia. And I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. Here's Daniel, way back there. You just felt like, God, why haven't you answered me? Mm-hmm. Do you ever think that maybe the prince of Persia was standing in the way of the answer of that prayer? Mm-hmm. And who is that? Satan. Satan. Now how, we've read some verses out of here about the person Daniel. Was Daniel a good man? Daniel was a good man, but he saw that he was a sinner. He said, forgive me of my sins and everything. And you look at Daniel and you look at all of the things that he did in the Bible, and you can't really find out anything Daniel did wrong, can you? I had a young man ask me here a while back. He said, how many days have you lived since you sinned the last time? I said, I don't remember the day that I ever lived when I didn't sin. But he was from the sinless perfection problem. We don't live a day without sin. We can look at Daniel's life. We can look at Joseph's life. Do you see any sin in Daniel's life or Joseph's life? I can't see any in the Bible, but we know that they were sinners because they asked God to forgive them. Okay? I don't live a day without sin ever. I have imperfections. I expect to live millions of years without sin, though. In the future, that's my retirement. Just think about those people that are lost living in sin for millions of years, in the cesspool of sin. How many of you ever had to open up a cesspool or a septic tank and shovel it all out? I had to do that too many times in my life. Every time I opened up one of them, I said, there's hell. I just looked down there and said, that's hell. Cesspool. Mm-hmm. Of humanity. The garbage can of humanity. The septic tank of all sinners. Full. That's where people are going to spend eternity. That's the retirement of these people that have so many powers in the world today. So much power. So much. People that are so rich and so powerful in the world. They are. You know that I used to see advertisements on television and everything. I'd go visit people in people's homes and they'd have something over there. And there was a movie one time. And this guy sold his soul to Satan. Then he became a great rock star or something or other. Somebody watching one of them. Sold his soul to Satan and became a great rock star. I want to be famous. And how do you sell your soul to Satan? How do you do that? How do you do that? Can you do that? Reject truth.
All you have to do is reject God's word. And every time you reject God's word, you sell your soul to Satan. Every time people hear lost people come into a church, and do lost people come to church?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They come to church and they listen to the word of God. And they reject. And they just put one more lock on their damnation. One more lock. Just drive one more nail in their coffin. Just put one more bar on the window to eternal life. I remember one time we talked about false religion, and that's, I mean, it's real plentiful in the Bible. I dealt with a woman that had been a Jehovah's Witness all her life, and I was up at the Scissor on Mount Vernon. And I was sitting there one day, and I was with my mother and everything, and this woman was there. And I had written out John 1 and 1. I scribble a lot when I'm sitting around. And they usually eat a lot longer than I do, and a lot more. I eat a little bit, and I'm full. Doesn't look like it. But anyway, I scribbled out John 1 and 1 on there, and she was a language teacher. And so I showed her grammatically how it worked out, everything like that. And she agreed with me and everything. And then when it got down to the interpretation of John 1:1, in the beginning kept on being the Word, and the Word, this Jehovah, kept on being toward the God. He was inseparable. And Jehovah kept on being, the Word kept on being God. And she interpreted that correctly. And then all of a sudden, her Jehovah Witness background jumped up and said, I don't believe it. But so I said, what does the Bible say? And she said, I don't believe it. I wasn't raised that way. I don't believe that. She just went into an absolute frenzy. She was scared. What was scaring her and dealing with her, God used that one little area right there to deal with her heart and her soul, her eternal soul. And she got afraid. But she nailed another nail in her coffin. And she rejected. She told me. I said, I'd spend as much time as I could with her. I said, I'll teach you what this means. I'll help you. I'll help you in understanding. I said, what you've been taught and what the Bible tells. I said, you teach the Bible. But you rest the Bible. What the Bible says is not what you say it teaches. Let the Bible speak to you. And she was really scared and frustrated. And she walked out there just as lost, and she drove another nail in her coffin. Put another bar on the bars that kept her from being saved. Now, there's churches all over this country. There are Mormons and there are Jehovah's Witnesses, and they build great big church buildings. What gives them the power to do that? Satan. What gives them the power to influence people? Satan. Is it real? Is the power real? Can Satan change his people's lives?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For the better, as we look at it. But the retirement is terrible. What?
Everybody loves a rags to riches story.
Yeah. Rags to riches. You hear, I mean, there have been preachers that have absolutely preached, and people listen to them from all over, telling how a person is pulling themselves up out of the gutter and become famous and wealthy and rich and have a wonderful life. What you have isn't anything, you know that? You don't. How much of it are you going to leave behind?
All of it.
All of it. All of it. You know what your job on earth is here? It's to raise your children. Raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Give everything that you've got in your life to them to point them in the right direction. Your life is not important here. The only reason why you're left here, God can take you out immediately after you're saved, take you to heaven to them.
Mm-hmm.
But he leaves you here to do a job. And the first primary job for you to do is your family. Guide your family. A man is supposed to be the spiritual leader of his home. And he's supposed to guide his family to follow and glorify God in their lives. Amen? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's your main job. Now, I told you the story about Benjamin Marcus Bogart, one of my old buddies and teachers in the ministry. When he left this world, he had given everything he had to the school that he founded in Little Rock, Arkansas. It was a missionary Baptist seminary. And he founded a bookstore, book printing press called the Bogart Press. And you can buy a book today from that press that ought to cost $70. You can buy it for $10. Because he left everything he had in this world to it. You know, the man didn't even leave enough money to buy a headstone or buy a grave from the big putty. Didn't leave anything to his children at all. He said, I gave them the best gift I ever had in my life. I gave them the gift of eternal life that I learned from my Lord for them to pass on to their children and their children and their children. He said, I don't care. He said, they don't need anything that I have in the world. And he was a rich, rich man. But he wasn't rich because everything he had was God's. He left everything he had to God. And it's still being used by God today. But the gift that he gave to his family was the raising and pointing them in the right direction. That's the greatest gift that you can give to your family. The greatest gift. Now, you can amass millions of dollars and leave them rich. And what usually happens to families that are very wealthy and they leave their children in this world, and what happens to those children? They end up being killed in a $40,000, $50,000 car. They mess up their lives. They have children scattered here and there that aren't even taken care of. And their lives are just havoc. Yeah, what kind of gift is that? They might have had $40 million or $1 billion, but what really did their parents give them? Give your parents or your children your time. Give them your prayers. Pray with them. Do you pray with your children every night when you put them to bed and let them know that you're laying down there with them and you're given time, enough time to say, I love you and I want to pray with you to God to help you sleep tonight. To help you wake up in the morning to another day that you might be a worthy servant of the God who you have called upon. To say. Those are real important things. Education is important. We think about the world's education. Brother King, you're going out to Cal State University. Mm-hmm. What do they teach you out there?
Contrary to the Bible.
So if you didn't have a good biblical foundation from daddy and mama, and from the Lord, what would you be? Even education, what would education do to you?
Take you further away
from God than you were before. Your job is to educate your children in the way that they should go. And when they get old, the Bible says they won't turn away from it. Mm-hmm. They go back to it. Because when they get up and they have children, if they're the right kind of people, they're going to want their children to have the same kind of chance that they have, and they're wanting to love your children. Got just a few more minutes. My grandmother raised me, and she taught me one thing in this world. She was poor Oklahoma Indian that was running from persecution in Oklahoma, came out here and worked in the cotton fields, and when she died, she was working for $25 a week, scrubbing the floors in a motel. But she gave me something that I'll never forget. She died in 1961. She was killed by a car when she was crossing the street.
She taught me how to love my children. She taught me love. She got up with me at nighttime when I was sick and she took care of me. She fed me, made sure that I had something to eat. We didn't hardly have any clothes at all. But she made sure that I had socks on my feet and shoes on my feet in the wintertime and clothes enough to keep me warm, even though she had to sew them together. The last thing that she ever did for me, transistor radios had come out, and every other kid in the country had a transistor radio. And the little bitty ones you buy for $1.99 then, it cost $50 for one of those. And she, and I talk about them, you know, and I said, well, I wish I had one of those. And the last Christmas that I had, she went and bought me a transistor radio for Christmas. It cost $50. That's 2 weeks' wages. But she wanted me to listen, and I love to listen to long-distance radio and stuff. And she bought this little transistor radio, and I sat there and listened to it and everything. She got killed right after that. But I went down to McMahon's where she had bought it, and she spent 2 weeks' wages, and it was on credit, so she could buy me that, because that was love. And so all my life, when I raised my children, I would sacrifice for them. And the most greatest sacrifice you can give them is your time, not your money. Your time. And she gave me that time. That's what you can give your children. That is the foundation that we need to give our children, because there's all kinds of false religion out there in the world. There's all kinds of it. You've got to protect them from it. Pray for my daughter today. She's in the midst of it. Pray for her. God bless you. Thank you for your attention. I hope this lesson helped you. Brother Ken, would you dismiss us with prayer, please?
Thank you, Father God, so much for this day. I thank you so much for helping us learn about tongues and what it means when people speak in the Lord and what you say about it.